So I'm going to double dip a little bit with some of the ideas I spoke about in the high school schmooze a little bit, just try to make it appropriate for a base manager's vibe. So I asked the chaver an interesting question after I sent two high school guys to the dining room during breakfast, asked one to count how many people washed and one to count how many people got toast or marrow. I'm not going to tell you exactly the statistics. But then when we got here, I asked them a question, how many of you, they didn't know that I had that statistic yet. Then I asked them if I had to, if one of you were unfortunately in a situation where you were being forced to make the choice of convert or die. You were in the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades. I don't know if the Crusades were given that option. But and you were given the choice, convert or die. How many of you would be willing to die al Kiddush Hashem? And then I asked him the question that it's a little bit perplexing, that there's a higher percentage of guys that are willing to die al Kiddush Hashem that are willing to wash for bread. So how do we understand that? How do we explain that? That was the question I posed to them. So what's the answer? That might account for this item. But, it's easier to be more heter. More heter means a conscious thought process. I'm not really mechuyev to wash. Or like it's mizonos.
Sounds like conscious, not a shiloh. It's not a clear shiloh. It's like,
but there's a
shiloh. You don't care so much about, you take bread and you eat it. It's not like so obvious that you have to wash. I'm this huge thing to wash. The guy tells you, deny Hashem. You can see the desire right in front of you.
I mean, the schar is much greater for dying. Kiddush Hashem, do one ma'aseh, it's all over. You don't have to worry about this life anymore. You're saying they wouldn't really die Kiddush Hashem. They're just saying they would.
Not one.
Brooklyn.
What?
You don't really know what's going to happen in a real life situation.
I mean, I think, I'm not a historian, but I think Lamaisa, many average, so to speak, Jews were known to have given up their lives on B'Kiddush Hashem. I assume the statistic is, at least the proportion of the statistic is probably true with any audience. There might be more or less people that wash and more or less people that are ready to give up their lives on B'Kiddush Hashem. Doesn't happen every day. It can only happen once.
Yeah.
Which way? What? Okay. I think what everyone's saying is probably true. I don't think there is one teretz to the question. I just thought it was a very thought-provoking question, interesting question. And there's probably a lot of, it's the washing example may be more of an example in high school, but at every stage in our lives, there are those, we could use the washing as the mushel for the relatively easy things that we're not careful about. So what's pshat? So maybe we could try and figure this out a little bit. I'm sure there's other explanations. This was just a question that got me thinking. but the teretz is not necessarily the mukher teretz, that this is the only teretz to the kasher. But I think it's definitely part of it. Let's talk a little bit about that perspective of it's just a little thing. So there's a Rabbi Yisrael. We may have mentioned it during Elzman, I don't remember, but that's when I used to hear it in yeshiva. I must revive them during Elzman. But there's a Rabbi Yisrael that says something very interesting. That the same way we say lefum tzara agra by averus or mitzvos that are very difficult to do, that the more difficult they are, the more reward we get. That's what Hashem, or at least one of the cheshbonos that Hashem takes into account when he determines chayav v'onesh. It works in the reverse also. If there's a mitzvah that's very easy to do and somebody doesn't do it, or if there's an avera that's very easy to refrain from doing and somebody doesn't refrain from doing it, then Hashem holds us more accountable, because what was the big deal? It's the same concept from Tzara Agra. Says it was very easy for you to refrain from that. It was very easy for you to do that. Why didn't you do that? Or why did you do it? And Hashem has a much bigger tefillah on us. It seems the excuse of I wasn't thinking about it, I was just not paying attention to it because it's little, doesn't really work. It probably even just makes it worse. Take Marshall. You go to Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year, and come back Pesach time, and your mother comes to pick you up at Miami International Airport. She goes and parks the car, comes inside, is waiting to meet you as you're coming out of the section in the airport where the welcomers are not allowed to go for security. So she's waiting there to meet you. She sees you coming out. She's jumping up and down, screaming your name, wanted to give you a big hug. There's an interesting advertisement behind where she's standing on the wall, and you're looking at that, and you just walk right by her. She's probably going to be pretty upset. You have a good excuse. Like, I was paying attention to something else, Mom. I think that just makes it worse. Like, you knew I was coming. You knew I really missed you. You knew I wanted to give you a hug. You knew I was parking outside. I waited for you, and you were distracted by the advertisement. It's the fact that we're not thinking about it because it's little, I think, isn't really an excuse. If anything, it might even make the avla worse. Like, why weren't you thinking about it? What's the big deal to think about it? It's not so difficult. There's no major taiva not to think about it. So Mela, the tefillah could really be much bigger. I mean, there's plenty of other things that go into the cheshbon of Schar V'Onesh, but Rabbi Yisrael says this is a factor. This is a factor when Hashem determines Schar V'Onesh on a little thing. There's a much bigger tefillah on us for not doing that little thing, so that we really have to change our perspective about the little things, because the little things are really big if the reason we're not doing them is because we're not just giving it the little focus that it takes to do them, then there ends up being a much bigger tefillah on us. By the big averus, we say, Atah Yotzrem, Atah Yodei Yitzrem, Hashem created us, Hashem knows how difficult it is, and therefore, to a certain extent, Hashem eases up on the punishment. But there's no excuse when it comes to little things. Big deal. Just do it.
Is it in a way harder to feel that a little things matter?
Yeah, but I think that's not an excuse, though. So does that mean the phone from Israel? It's not really an excuse, because if all it takes is paying attention, that's why it's hard to feel, because it's a little bit so we don't pay so much attention to it, because we don't really care about them.
How could Hashem actually care whether I wash my hands or not? It's such a small detail. That's really
because we think that Hashem doesn't care about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the Chazal tell us that the smallest mitzvah has unbelievable amount of schar that we can't possibly be masig. So
I think that's hard to believe. That's not so easy to follow.
What percentage do you believe in? Give it a number. 5%, 10%? What?
If all the high school is very low, very low.
First of all, I don't think that's true. I think even guys in high school believe it a little bit. I'm saying people buy lottery tickets, right? It's harder to go to Publix and buy a lottery ticket for the Mega Millions than it is to wash. Do they even believe it, like 1 in 17 million? So I don't think it's shot because even if we just believed it 1 in 17 million, we would take that risk and we would wash because, hey, maybe, you never know, right? I don't think you have to... A little bit, pretty minimal hassle. If your hand was dirty, right, you would go to the sink and wash. Mm-hmm. If your shirt was slightly dirty, you would go back to the dorm and change. Right.
We're not talking about benching.
What? Okay. Benching rate takes 2 minutes. I'm saying that's usury. Okay, it's the right of it. But I'm saying, okay, even if you want to throw in the suffix, okay, I'm not 100% sure there's gedaydin. First of all, I think even people that are 100% sure struggle with this. May not be washing that they're struggling with, but even people that are 100% sure, 99% sure, whatever you want to give it, there are easy things in their Avodas Hashem that they overlook, that they just don't bother paying attention to. And I think a lot of it is because they tell themselves, it's no big deal, I don't even know if there's a conscious discussion in their mind, or even a subconscious discussion, is this a big deal, is it not a big deal? It's just, they sort of like, just like, whatever it. And I think the issue is they don't really think about it. But Lamaisa, that's, the little things in that sense could really end up being a much, much bigger tvi on us because we have no excuse. So we got to be careful with the little things. The truth of the matter is that when we're careful with the little things, it makes a huge difference, because when we're careful with the little things, we're training ourselves to care. The reason we're not doing the little things is because we're not caring. So then when we are careful with the little things, we're training ourselves to be more focused, to care more about our Avodas Hashem, and then we become different people. There's, I think, another part of this is really have to get into the Shariyar, Rav Itzla. I think it's a famous piece. In my mind, it's famous. When it comes to every other fear in the world, he says it takes no effort to feel that fear. I don't know, I'm not sure if this is normal, but if you're standing on the edge of a cliff, you're standing on top of a building at the edge of the building, do your legs feel different? Anyone have that sensation in their legs where they're standing at the edge?
Yes.
Right? Okay, I have that. I guess people that have a fear of heights have it more. But what is that? You just walk to the edge of the building, and all of a sudden, your legs are like, the blood starts flowing in your legs differently. There's no conscious thought process of chazar, of the rules of physics and gravity, and what happens if you fall off the building, right? There's a instinctive fear that you have because you know that mitzias. You don't even have to go through a thought process. That. All fears that we have are naturally ingrained in us, and they just they hit us without any thought process. Some people might be a little bit tougher than others, and some people might not be afraid of this or afraid of that. Some people are. Some people are a little more nervous. Some people a little less nervous. But when it comes to things that people are afraid of, you're driving in a car and you were almost in an accident, your heart just like starts pounding because you thought you were about to get killed, right? that's how our body is. That's how our teva is. We don't need to focus on anything to elicit that fear when it comes to anything that we're afraid of. That's our teva. I think it's true, even if it's something that's not immediate. Even if it's something that it's not immediate, we may not have that reflexive instinct of jumping away, because nothing's happening immediately. But when we see on a certain item, you know, this item is illegal to be sold in California because it causes cancer or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to buy it. Okay, we might not. Our heart might not start pounding because it's away in the distance. It's not immediate. But I don't think we have to do a chazara of what's. Of what's the what are the consequences of cancer? Let me weigh this. Let me weigh that. There's just a teva. I'm not going there. Let me buy something else that they would sell in California too. When it comes to schar v'onesh, it doesn't work. It's not in our teva. People aren't afraid of onesh. They're not afraid of Gehenim, and people don't value Schar. Why don't people value Schar? Why aren't people excited? You learn for an afternoon Seder, Talmud Torah Kedagad Kulam. Every minute of Torah is who knows how many mitzvahs, how many millions and billions of dollars. How excited are we at the end of a Seder? Why not?
I don't understand what it means. It's too much.
It's too much.
So far away.
What?
So far away.
Okay, let me ask you a morbid question. Can you put a number on how long you'll live? Okay, don't answer that question. Let's say a person thinks they're going to live until they're 90 years old, right? Let's say I write you a check right now, and for your retirement from when you're 85 to 95 years old. Here's a $10 million check. Put in your account. You can't cash it until you're 85 years old. Here it is. It's torture because you can't. But are you happy? Are you excited? I got the last 10 years of my life covered right now. It's not happening for a long time.
Versus the homeless,
what?
$10 million in 8 years, but he's homeless now.
So he wouldn't be happy. Here's $10 million that for you to spend on the last years of your life, 85 to 95.
It wouldn't happen today.
But are you going to be happy today that you have that in the bank?
No, because you're homeless.
There may be things that you're unhappy with today, but you're going to tell me if I give a homeless guy a $10 million check to use for the last 10 years of his life, he's not going to be happy? He's not going to be very excited? What?
He gets the check, he will be happy.
I gave him the check, right? Yeah, I gave him the check. You can't spend any of the money until you're 85 years old. I mean, people are saving up their whole lives for retirement, right? They're very happy. They're constantly going online and checking how their what do they call it, their nest, what do they call it? How it's growing. They want to, right? They know it's coming down the line. I'm retiring when I'm 75, but they're very happy about knowing that they have millions of dollars put away so that they can enjoy their retirement. So this is another 10 years past that, so we can't relate to it.
No one's ever seen anyone enjoy it. That's I've seen people enjoy $10 million, I've never seen anyone enjoy it. It's hard.
And therefore what?
So it's harder to be happy.
That's tangible.
I think that's true, but I don't think that explains it at all. Because you understand that the reason you haven't seen it is because you've never been to Olam Haba, but you know and you believe, at least to a very significant extent, that any schar in Olam Haba is more than you could possibly imagine and get in Olam Hazeh. You know that the onish in Olam Haba, the fires of Gehenna, are 60 times fire hotter, whatever that means, than any fire down here. We know these things to be true. Okay, you want to say that you're not 100% maimin and you're shtickle masupik about that? Okay, be a shtickle masupik about that. It still doesn't explain it. Okay, so I never saw it. I can't picture exactly what it is, but I know it's more enjoyable than anything that I could get here. So let me at least imagine that it's that it's all I know I could get here. Because it's more than that. But I believe that to be true. I'm a Maimon. I at least think there's a very good chance that it's true. So the fact that I never saw it makes it that I can't be happy.
I mean, I think I disagree with that. I think that people do feel happy after learning a Seder.
Just as happy as you would feel if I told you right now that here's a $10 million check that you could spend in 50 years? I think you would be thrilled if I just told you that you won $10 million for your retirement. I think you would be many, 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 many more times thrilled than you've ever been in your life after all the many storm that you've learned. And it doesn't compare in the slightest bit, and we know that.
No?
If what?
If you told the homeless guy that he's going to have a lot of children and we're going to have weddings, that probably also wouldn't get him excited, even though people constantly would spend $10 million on. It's something about emotional pleasures, which aren't exciting.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
You wouldn't be excited if you knew that he would get nachas from his kids. And
you're saying because the Olam Haba is only emotional, and therefore it's not really exciting?
It's
You're basically downplaying the Schar Olam Haba and saying it's not really that good, so it's nothing to be excited about.
Of course, running off the kid is, and having access to children is much better than $10 million, but it's something about the way we work. That isn't exciting. Knowing that it's going to happen isn't exciting.
No. Why not?
Isn't it going to be
just... What?
Why would a person be excited about nothing? If I was told that my kids are going to get married off and have a great life or whatever, why would that excite me?
Just $10 million?
Who told you that?
I don't know. Could be. Let's say I had a choice between two. Someone got offered me $10 million and somebody offered me that. Let's say $1 billion, and somebody offered me my kids would be successful.
I'm saying here's $10 million. Are you ready to give up all your Olam Haba? Here's $10 million check. No. So you believe it's better, but you're much less excited. That's the teva. So Rav Itzler says that this is, it's not really al pi derech hateva. It's Hashem made it that this is how we are. That even though intellectually we know Schar V'Onesh, but it's not on our mind. It's not in our teva like any other natural Schar V'Onesh naturally is on our mind. And naturally ingrained on us and there without any thought process. And Memela, the only way to get it there, he says, is through amelus, is through working on it, is through taking those yesodos that we know and bringing them into focus. The more we bring them into focus, the more it'll be part of our lives. The happier we'll be focusing on the schar that we're getting for all the mitzvahs that we're doing. The more careful we'll be avoiding averos because we'll be more focused on the onesh that we're going to get. But these things don't happen naturally, and they only happen through a focus. They only happen through an amelus. They only happen through a that's really what Musar B'Spilus is all about, through a Musar Seder of taking those basic yisodos and focusing on them again and again and again. People don't seem to need to learn a Musar Seder. Like people have a pursuit of money. They don't have to wake up every day and remind themselves, money's going to make me happy, money's going to make me happy, let me go to work and try to make some extra money today. That's in their teva. When it comes to schar, people need that Musar Seder, they need to open up Mesilas Yesharim again and again and again and remind themselves, Ma chavasu b'olam, I want to get the tiny guy miti, that's what Hashem wants me to get. How do I get that by doing mitzvahs? That's what this card was. We did a 3-minute chiddush habosur Musar B'Spilus session. Everybody took the first paragraph of the of the first paragraph of Siyas Hasharim, and I just read it and read it again. And think about it a little bit. There's no chidushim over there, as the Siyas Hasharim says himself. But Lamaisa, that's what we need to do to make these mitzvahs that we believe in, maybe even 100%, close to 100%, to make them part of our instinctive behavior. We have to work on it.
Are you saying that's through Chazarim, the first paragraph of the Sharm, or that's through?
There are probably a lot of things that you could read and think about it. But
just doing Musar.
Yeah, it takes amelus, it takes work, it takes focus, and it doesn't come naturally. And if we don't focus on it, then we don't do it. I think that's a big part of the pshat in why when it's these things that are daily, that we just don't focus on. If we would take a minute and stop and think, 1 second. If I wash now, I'm getting lots and lots of schar. It's worth more than the schar I'm getting. It's worth more than $10 million for washing. Okay, so I'm going to go wash. It's not the biggest deal. It's not such a pain. That might even be enough to bench. You know, but it's just a matter of a little bit of focus.
Rabbi saying that the guy fathers the concepts, then he will feel the schar, like, will feel happy, like, more than $10 million check
because the scar. Yes. Yeah.
Has to do with
Chazon
until he feels it.
Yes. I remember hearing from Rabbi Tzion Chait when I was here, branching a few years ago. So he gave a shmooze by Avram Avinu. You'll notice that Yitzhak gave the brachos to Yaakov. Yaakov was risked his life to get those brachos. They were pretty important. Yaakov gave the brachos to Shvatim. But Avram Avinu didn't give the brachos to Yitzchak. Why not? So the Medrash says that Avram Avinu felt that he couldn't give the brachos to Yitzchak without giving bracha to Yishmael. He didn't want to give bracha to Yishmael. So he said to himself, Mashal, what happens if you have a gardener of the king? The king tells him, take care of my garden. And you have these roots of the poisonous tree and the beautiful tree that are intertwined. You can't feed one without the other. So he said that the gardener says, sounds like someone said this most recently. the gardener says that what am I supposed to do? It's not my garden. It's not my job. I can't feed the tree because then I'm feeding the poisonous tree. So I'm just Sheval Tassa, let the owner of the garden come, let the king come and decide what he wants to do. I'm not doing anything. So to Avram Avinu says, it's not my world. I just work here. It's Hashem's world. Let Hashem decide what he wants to do. And Taka Hashem came and gave the brachos to Yitzhak himself. So Rabbi Chait pointed out, here you have Avram Avinu at the end of his life. These are the words that he's saying to himself. He's telling himself Judaism 101. What's he doing? He spent his whole life teaching everybody about Hashem. And now this is the end of his life. And he's talking to himself and says, it's not my world. I just work here. I don't control this place. I'm going to back off. What's he doing? He's having a Musar Seder, and he's being machazik himself with the basic concepts that he knows. And that's what we have to do. That's how Hashem made us, that we constantly need to remind ourselves of the basics and to machazik ourselves. In my day in yeshiva, I'm not that old, but there were no Musar groups during Musar Seder. We had a half-hour Musar Seder from 3 to 3:30, and there were no Musar groups. When I was in Kollel, I think Rabbi Trapper started giving groups once a week. I had a Musar group with Rabbi Trapper. I think by now maybe some more members of the Hanhala in Queens give but otherwise that's what you do during Musar Seder. You sit down. It doesn't have to be torture. You don't have to scream at yourself that the gates of Gehenna are going to swallow you up or whatever it is. But the chazara, the constant reinforcement, which you can only do to yourself, you can't do that from listening to somebody else's vod, listening to somebody else's musar. It's a thought process that you have to go through yourself. You got to talk to yourself in order for that to really make a difference. I assume that the reason why they shifted away from it is because it's not so easy to do. So they give 15 minutes over here, and then they have a half-hour musar group. But Lamaisa, it's very kedai to at least use those 15 minutes and open a musar sefer and talk to yourself and remind yourself of the basics, because that's how Hashem made us. What's fascinating is the chesed Hashem. I heard this when I was reading the Eritzla again. It comes out that a person ends up getting double schar for every mitzvah that he does, because he had to work on himself to have the Yerushimayim, or to have the appreciation of the schar, and then he had to do the mitzvah. So he ends up getting schar for working on himself to having the Yerushimayim, and he gets a schar for doing the mitzvah. So it ends up working out nicely for us. I mean, if it was in our teva, we wouldn't get any schar. But the way it's out of our teva, we end up getting schar because it's only because we worked on ourselves that we were in that mindset that we were doing those things, especially the little things. So the ma'isa, we end up getting a lot more schar. Yet this is the teva that Hashem created us with. I'm not sure so much on the base medrash level how this applies, and I'll end with this. But I think a big part of our challenge with the little things is that there's so much talk in trying to be mechazik, high school guys, maybe base medrash also, about how wonderful it is to have a relationship with Hashem, to daven and connect with Hashem, to live like a good from Jew, how fulfilling that feels, how pleasant, how much better your life will be if you do it this way. There's a lot of that kind of talk to be mechazik people, and it's wonderful. But the problem is that what happens when you're not feeling it? I was talking to a guy in the high school who I spent a little time with and was observing him, and he wasn't washing, he wasn't benching. He was walking around without his yarmulke at times. He wasn't wearing a tzitzis. So I asked him, like, what's pshat? You're a good kid. Like, not down with the minyan. Like, what's pshat? So he said, you know, I'm just... First he said to me, what, and you do everything? So I dealt with that. But then his teretz was, like, I'm just not feeling it. I think a shtickle, it's our fault for... giving people the feeling that they're supposed to be feeling it all the time, and that's what it's all about. It is a nice thing, it's a beautiful thing to be feeling it, and for that to be involved in your avodas Hashem, but that there can't be that excuse of I'm just not feeling it. We have to remind ourselves of the basics, and even when we're not really feeling it, but if we go into that mode of okay, but this is my achrayus. There's lots of schar awaiting me if I do the right thing. We'll be very excited when we do the right thing, and we're taka thinking about the schar and appreciating the schar. And if we just bring the reality of what we know from our mind to our heart, which Moser is supposed to connect, then Emirat Hashem will have a lot more success in our avodas Hashem.